Nice to be here. My wife asked me to be sure to explain, if you weren't at dinner, it's a boring idea anyway, but we always sit at separate tables so we can meet twice as many people. So that's it. And why we drove here in different cars. We live south of here in Michigan, but I've been at a men's retreat, and she didn't want to go to that. And it's been a great retreat. It's 6 years long now. So it's good to see you again. I'm going to tell you, it was a long, year three was hard. Anyway, no, it was only 3 days, so it was, we got it. Thank you for that. To all of you, most of what we do here is root for Notre Dame, and so if you would, if you're not for Notre Dame, you may leave now. No, don't. A lot of you are from South Bend, though, and so how many of you are Notre Dame fans, along with me? I know there's more than a few. Boy, this is good. Yes, thank you. Yes, the lady in the front row. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Yes, the lady. Come on, close your eyes, everybody. The lady right here. You look like a lady I married. I've been gone 6 years. Anyway. So I was named after Newt Rockne, so I had to root for Notre Dame all my life. She was a great coach there. If you're under 40, like a number of you are, you don't even know Newt Rockne anymore. Bert, do you remember the name Newt Rockne?
I'm not a Notre Dame fan, so I've been trying to forget. But.
Well, anyway, I'll leave that right aimed toward you. By the end of this service, you're going to come forward for Notre Dame. My dad called me Rock all my life, and so what I do now is coach pastors, and I like the term coaching because I finally get to do what Newt Rockne did, but that's good. But Newt is a hard word for people when you go to one of those restaurants where they say, and what is your name, and they're going to call you. You know what I'm saying? And I often say Lars because they could spell that or come close, and it's easy, but I like my name, so not long ago I said Newt, and the girl looked at me, and I said, K-N-U-T-E. 5 minutes later, I heard, Kunte. True. So I went and got the food. And at another restaurant, and this is true, I'll tell you when I'm going to lie, so you can believe everything I say unless I say this is a lie. But this is true. At another restaurant, I said the same, Newt, and she looked at me, and I went, K-N-U-T-E. And 5 minutes later, I heard, K. That's all she heard. So I walked up and got my food. And anyway, nice to be with you. This is always, Francine called it a fun retreat, and I think that's a good word. It's also a time that we don't have to hurry when we study the Bible. I meet the time requirements, but I mean, we're going to stay on one theme at least the first 3 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And for the next 4 years, we're going to cover starting at the Old Testament. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 3. I would like to talk for these first four times, actually, about the voice of God, a subject that gets attention sometimes, depending on what you read, and where we often differ, but I'm going to talk about the times when we agree for sure, and then I'll raise some questions about some other things. I think it will be helpful. This is 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is a famous story. If you grew up in church, I bet you know it, and it's a story of how Samuel hears the voice of God in his life. And often, listening to God's voice, that's what we're talking about. And we'll have some different things. I hope you'll discuss it with joy at tables or in every once in a while in your room, because we would have different opinions about it. But what I'm going to teach, for the most part, at least tonight, is something where I hope you don't have a differing opinion. I grew up this way, Lord, please talk to me, and he hands me the Bible. And some of you would agree with me on that, and I guess everybody would, but some would say, well, yeah, but well, there's a lot more, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. But this is 1 Samuel chapter 3, a famous flannel graph story, and for those of you under 50, flannel graph is something that sticks to the board. Now, the young man Samuel was ministering the Lord under Eli. He's an intern at the temple. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. God was not talking to people much, especially God would talk to the high priest and to the priests, and he would share it, and the word would get out because they didn't have this for sure, the Bible. Verse 2, at that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. I assume that's his room or his bunk. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. So Samuel's resting also in where the ark is. It's a great story and a lot of figurative things there, but I want to get to the main point, verse 4. The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli because he thought Eli was calling him. He said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Now we had at the chapel where I was 26 years, some of you were there, a wonderful place to be, and we had a large staff, and if I called somebody's name, they would always run in and say, "Here I am." No, they wouldn't. But that's what we should do to God. "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Go lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So that's a secret idea that God spoke to many people, and some of them knew him in this way where they would hear his voice. Samuel, Eli did for sure, and the high priests all did. I mean, that's how they got the word of God. In the Holy of Holies, not the Holy of Holies, but in the temple itself and near the Holy of Holies, they would hear God speak to them, and they would pronounce it to the people. And once a year, they went into the Holy of Holies, Day of Atonement. But I digress. Verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Verse 9, the Lord called Samuel again the third time. This is getting boring, but he's making a point that's going to be our whole point tonight. Verse 9, therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. My whole point tonight is to convince myself that when God speaks to me, as in the ways I'm going to show you, I should say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I will do what you say." Okay, here we go. Here's the dramatic part. Verse 10, "And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.' Then the Lord said to Samuel," and he gave a message, "'Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.'" He's going to do something dramatic, and it's going to be temple discipline, and Eli's about to lose some of his privileges. That's not our point tonight. Just speak, Lord, for your servant hears. That's what I'm going to keep saying to me a number of times in the next 3 days. Wednesday we'll do something differently as we have communion. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. You don't have to say it out loud, but it should be my attitude. It should be yours. And I wonder if you would be that way now. We don't always want to do what God says, and Samuel hears the voice out loud, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears," and God gives a message through Samuel. So we respond to God's voice, and his direct voice was for Samuel. On your outline, does anybody need an outline? I'm glad to fetch one for you. Can anybody read the outline? Okay, you got it. It's small, but I think you can read it. We respond to God's voice. Most of us would want this direct voice if we had a choice. I'd like to hear God's voice out loud like that, you might say. But and that's a good desire. My speculation is it won't happen that way, but we'll look at that this week. But his word to us is very strong. And some of the things I'm going to say now are the ABCs of the Christian life that are often neglected. You know what I'm saying. You're going to be reminded of them. But God has spoken to us, and we want to talk about His voice. The first way He has spoken, if you'd like to page to Psalm 19, this is His loudest voice in the terms of volume, or at least spread. And this is a very famous psalm, and it's one of the most important things that was ever written, and it's probably the most neglected issue in the Bible. I really mean that. If you're in public school as a kid or a student, your teacher is probably not allowed to talk to you about the two greatest works of God, creation and salvation. People look at the sunset and try to count the colors or take a picture of it. People see a new baby and say, why, she looks just like somebody. And here's what the first issue of creation ought to be. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. So there's a speech going on. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. God speaks through creation, and it goes to every language there is in the world. This is a very loud voice, and it's a good reminder to me to don't look at the night sky or the beautiful stars or a sunrise and not think God did that and give Him thanks and attribute. If you'd look at any of these pictures, you might say, who took that? That's gorgeous. Or if there was a painted artist picture, it would be rude to look at the picture and say, oh, that's cool, and the artist is standing right there. You ought to say, wow, nice job. The heavens declare the glory of God, the power of God. 93 billion light years across is what they say from Hubble telescope pictures. Did you know that? That means that this is hard to fathom, and I don't get it. 93 billion years, regular years, for 93 billion years, if you drove 186,000 miles per second, in 93 billion light years, you would get across the universe. And everybody should say, whoa. Everybody said, man, 93 billion light years across shows His power. Why God did that? I don't think He did it so we could investigate space as much as we would say, whoa, or look. Shows His power. Look at a gorgeous flower tomorrow when you're walking by and just look at the amazing differences in all the flowers and the animals, and it shows His genius. How did He ever think of that? I don't know if it was a committee. I don't think so. I coach churches. Committees just argue. But He said, let there be a daffodil. Let there be, name another flower, lady. Geranium. That's the one I was thinking of. You win the prize. You get to live with me the rest of your life. Except when I'm at men's retreats. That shows His genius, that He does, and then the human being is His highest accomplishment. You know that, because we're spiritual. That's what it means to be made in His image, by the way. I got to ask that at the men's retreat. You know, men are not as smart as women. Do you understand that, women? That's right. Did you hear that? Anyway. Where was I? Let me finish this before you ask questions. Anyway, all of this yells His genius. But the speech, the loudest speech in one way, the loudest speech, not the most important, I guess, but the loudest is over all the earth. And think, I wonder how many people and how many nations look up at the heavens now and either see a sunrise, perhaps right now, or a sunset, or night, or dark, and say, God is amazing. When you look at a new baby, hear the speech of God, which would be, I made that baby. I invented those. It's fine to say, my, she's cute, or she looks just like whatever you wish to say, but even that should make us hear the voice of God saying, He is wonderful. He is amazing. Will you do that a little better? I want to. And the more I studied this, the more I realized so many times. One time, we live rather close and can get to the Michigan beach and see the sunsets. People go down there. One day this summer in August, I think the sun set at 9:12. Now, who decided that? Well, the weatherman did. And he wrote it in the paper. We're going to have the sunset tonight at 9:12. And so people were down there taking pictures. It was gorgeous. It was setting right over the western shore. And I asked the people coming up, do you know who did that? There were about eight people standing on a deck there. And nobody answered. And I wasn't being smart aleck, but I wanted to just say, God. Do you know who, it's amazing how he invented our brains. And that's creation. That's what the voice of God is. The second way God speaks, will you join me if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, or if not, trust me as I read it, Hebrews chapter 1. That's harder to find in the New Testament, but it's a second way that God speaks, and it's his word, the printed word. It's translated into all different languages, but this is a big issue in the church today because we have a whole generation now that has grown up biblically illiterate, and meaning they don't know what it means or what it says, or as it says in the Bible, I don't think it's bad to take your phone to church and read the Bible in the phone, but most people, I'm in a different church every Sunday, and in most of them, way over half the people don't ever look down at a Bible or even look it up on their iPad. That's not a sin or anything like that, but I'm just saying most people don't even read it at home anytime. So how in the world would they hear the voice of God or know what he says and what he thinks? It's a big deal. In Hebrews 1, this writer, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. These were the writers of the Old Testament and of the New, all prophets who spoke for God, who wrote down what they got from God. Most of us in our churches believe in the inspired Word of God. I hope you do. You consider it if you don't, because otherwise this is just a book. But the Bible says that God moved them along as with a sailboat. He moved along writers and helped them know what to say. He used their personalities. I don't get this, but it's the way we live our lives. He uses all of our different idiosyncrasies and personalities, but he's sovereign in our lives as Lord, or can be, if we allow him. And he'll be sovereign either way, but I mean really be Lord of our lives. But he moved the prophets along. I don't know if you believe that. But if we do, even where it's boring, we ought to read it. And some of the things are hardly boring. They're about how to live and how to forgive somebody and how to love and how to be a different kind of a person. So the second way God speaks is his word, and it's very clear in the Torah and all the Old Testament. It was written in Hebrew and scrolls, but now we have it in many different languages, and it's all over the world. And again, I'm not here to be sad, but most people never touch the Bible and have no idea what it says, or they just hear there are errors in the Bible. Every time somebody said that to me, I suppose 10 to 20 in my life, well, you know, there are a lot of mistakes in the Bible. I say, do you know any of them? They never knew any of them. I could tell them a couple places where it seems confusing, but they didn't know any of them. They just heard that, so they never touch it. By the way, help your grandkids or your kids or others know that there's treasures in here. God speaks through his word. It's very, very important. You know what I'm going to say about the third way. It's right in this same passage, which we're going to dwell on for a half hour, Lord willing, on Wednesday. The third way he speaks is dramatic. It's in a person. And don't you dare compare anybody to Jesus. And the word was eternal. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, Word, expression, logos. You want to know what God thinks? Well, here's his Word, Word. Our daughter answers the phone that way sometimes if she knows it's us. Word. That's small w, but this is God answering the need for human beings to know what he's like. Word, capital W, and the word was made flesh. 14 verses later it says that, and dwelled among us. Whoa. I go on, and we beheld, this is John who sat with him at campfires, and we beheld his glory. This is a human being. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Father, capital F, God. We beheld his glory, the glory of God, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. Gorgeous reminder. You know the story. I love to tell it. I believe true story. In a Sunday school class, the teacher asked, try to get the girl's attention in the, I forget what grade. I'm going to say second, but I know it was grade school. What has four legs and a bushy tail and hops from branch to branch? What is it? And one little girl raised her hand. She said, well, it sounds an awful lot like a squirrel, but it must be Jesus, because everything at church is Jesus. And that's true in many ways. God speaks loudest through creation, or broadest through creation, most specifically in some ways in Scripture, because he describes what our life should be like, and most dramatically in that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He lived where you live. He walked where we walk. Only he was on the dusty roads toward Nazareth. And the Word in flesh, can you imagine being Peter, James, John, Mary, Martha, all those rest that were his friends sitting with him? You've, in a smart-like way, said about a boss or a person or a neighbor maybe, he thinks he's God because of the way they speak with authority and no one can disagree. But this is Jesus, the most humble man who ever lived, and he is God, fully God. Well, the great mystery of the Trinity, don't try to explain it, but Father, Son, and Spirit are one, equally God. The Word becomes the Word to us. You want to know what God thinks? John chapter 16. Jesus said, show us the Father. He said, have I been here this long and you don't know what the Father is? The words I say are the words of the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Any questions? So, God speaks in these ways. They're very clear. Do you listen to him? And the fourth way is in our hearts and guidance. And we're going to spend time on that tomorrow, and I'll probably point out things that I think are very misused today and to be careful, but we'll talk about that. But it's the guidance issue. But to tell you that I did a fair amount of research for this, here are the articles on Google that I read. How to hear God's voice clearly. How to hear God's voice. Those are two separate. This is how I learned to hear God's voice. Sean Bowles teaches how to hear God's voice. 11 ways on how to hear God's voice more clearly through your spirit, dreams, circumstances, visions, minister of God, audible voice, remembrance, prophecy, and your husband. I made up the last one. Someone who may be your pastor, a very good man in Grand Rapids, wrote a book called God Told Me to Write This. God Told Me. God Told Him Who to Marry. Bill Hybels wrote a book, The Whispers of God. Mark Batterson, a pastor, a very good pastor in Washington, D.C., The Voice of God, and he called it The Whispers of God. We'll talk about some of this. What's clear in the Bible is not this fourth one, it's one we grapple with, but it is how we respond to these very strong voices of God. I'm going to come back to that. If I could. We respond to God's voice and not to other lords. And here, right where your stirrer is, John chapter 10, I'll just read these verses, I won't dwell here, but there are many voices in this world that call to every one of us. Some of them through commercials or sexy women on TV or in a magazine or through a friend who says, why don't we do this? Jesus, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but cheats and climbs in another way, this man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He could raise his hand and say, that's me, that is I. In him, to him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, and they did not understand what he was saying to them. Well, the context is very important. The Jews were all over here in a sheep pen and in Judaism, and they had a number of people. If you read history, it's not in the Bible, all of it. Some of it is. But they had false prophets who came and led them out, and they were many voices. And today there are many voices. And these are lords, L, small L. And if you don't think they're lords today, you talk to somebody who's on opioids. Akron has a big fight about opioids, so do most towns. And you talk to somebody who's captivated by opioids or drugs or sex or money, and he'll tell you, yeah, I'm a servant of this Lord. And they hear the voice and can't do anything else. And all of us hear the voice of selfishness, get even. Don't let him talk to, don't let her do that to you. You know, that's a voice, that's the voice we're not supposed to listen to. The good shepherd here gives his life for his sheep. He goes on to say, and my sheep hear my voice. And when Jesus came to the fold, what does it mean that they heard his voice? Not that they heard, like Samuel. No, they heard him and watched him and saw his miracles, and they said, yo, this is the Messiah. And they heard his voice calling them, and they followed him. And by the way, you want to know what the good shepherd's like? As I mentioned, it's right after this, he gives his life for his sheep. And these others won't do that. No. I hope you're there. He, when he gives his life, takes every one of your sins and mine on his back, on his spirit, I guess is a better way to say it. In other words, every fib I ever told, every lie, every wrong I've ever done was being judged at Calvary. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was forsaken because of our sins, mine first and yours there. And he pays for those. When I put my faith in him and trust him as Savior, that counts for me. Whoa. Don't you dare say I'm being punished for my sins. Nonsense. The punishment for sin is death. He took it. More than that, when you believe or put your faith, any church, any place you are, in the woods, in your bed, with my grandma, I was kneeling beside a bunk bed. When you put your faith in him, that counts for you. And what's more, something you never feel, but you read and believe, his righteousness now covers you. Nobody goes to heaven with a zero. You get from minus 2 million to zero, 3 million for a couple of you. Sins. I know who you are. You get to zero, but his righteousness covers you. That gets you to trillions. We are covered. Romans 4:1, our faith is counted as righteousness. Whoa. Paul was famous for believing this, and he always said, we're accepted in the beloved. 13 times he says, in Christ. We are in Christ. When I stand in front of God, I got nothing to say like, I knew Bert Kettinger. Or, I was a decent pastor. No, I'm with him is all I got to say. The good shepherd. By the way, are you there? I like to say that means live in combination with him. Judgment total. Don't worry about that. Confess your sin for fellowship and keep going. Covered by the righteousness of Christ. How many people even believe in him and never have that full assurance and joy. Whoa. So that's the good shepherd. Don't listen to the other lords. And the other lords are just everywhere. They're in the ads. They're just everywhere. We're not to listen to them. Now, when we were in Akron, we went up to, we sponsored a teacher, several missionaries at the Alaska Bible College, and Janine and I went up there and I taught for a week, and one of the profs let me learn how to mush with, I forget, seven dogs. I think there were a lead dog, and anyway, I sat in the sled and he did it, and he said some words that I don't quite remember, but I know one was mush, and the other one, I believe, was oi. He was a Jewish teacher there. Anyway, he did it, and we sailed along, and he says, okay, your turn. So he sits in the sled, and I go, mush. Seven dogs turned like this. Who are you? Honest. They wouldn't move. They didn't care what I said or anything. It was so funny. I felt weak. Every husband knows the feeling. One time in Akron, we were filming minute spots for TV, and we wanted to use the Belgian horses of Ronnie Myers. He trained horses, these giant muscle horses. And we were going to do a minute spot of plowing. So I get behind these horses, the plow, and I forget this word too, but let's use mush again because I do remember that one. It wasn't mush. So I go, mush! Four dogs from over there come running over to me, the Alaska Huskies. Now, I go, mush! And these are horses, right? I'm talking. Their ears are like this, looking straight ahead. They could care less. I felt like I was preaching a sermon. They're honest. It was so funny. Ronnie's standing over there, the TV guy, Grant Erickson, and Ron, the cameraman, they just laughing. Didn't mean a thing to these horses. So we had to figure out, of course. Ronnie didn't want to be in the movie or in the minute spot. So he stands closest to me as he can, and he yells whatever the word is. Do you know the word? Gian Hall. Yeah. Why didn't you tell me? He yells the words, and the horse's ears go like this, and they start marching and plowing. And we did the minute spot. Our ears should go up when God speaks. When you see creation, or you see a baby, or you just look at your own hands, and even though age catches all of us in various ways, the creation of God is just out of sight. It's magnificent. Hear his voice. Read his word. You don't have to read what I read or what anybody in the room reads. Just when you read it, say, this is God's voice. Watch Jesus Christ. And when you feel doubts and when you feel down, go back to the voice of Christ who says, I am the way and the truth and the life. John, his best friend, said, whoever believes in him knows that he has eternal life, and we obey him too. He's the good shepherd, and this is what he offers us. Don't listen to those other voices. Go ahead and buy the product if you want. But this is the issue. Now tonight, let me just introduce our response and then we'll talk to these. On your outline, there's a way to the right, each of these. We are to respond with faith and obedience. Faith doesn't mean a big feeling. It means I heard it and I'll do it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, when you hear it, you got to obey it. That's what faith is, obedience, content. So God's part is his word, ours is to obey. When it comes to creation, right beside it, worship. Don't just look at the flower. You don't have to take it. You don't have to embarrass anybody. It's just, there it is. It's God's. Why did he give all these flowers? Why did he make all these animals? Why did he have 93 billion light years? I don't know, but we ought to at least say, whoa, wow, thank you, God, and honor him as the artist. You'll do that, won't you? You keep doing it. You probably do it now. So with creation, the response is worship. The heavens declare the glory of God. His voice goes to all the world. It goes over North Korea, and they black it out, apparently. I'm sure there are many believers there. I know there is. In China, it's growing leaps and bounds. These people look up. You'll see related to that in the movie tonight. In Scripture, well, there's not much to say. There's much to do. Know it and obey it. Now, there's room for interpretation on some things, but most of it's pretty clear. Stop being envious. Stop hurting the church. Grow together with other people. Our response is so clear. Know it and obey it. It's the voice I hear most. It's the Scriptures. It's the Word of God. When it comes to Jesus Christ, trust Him. He's the Lord of the universe. He's the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. No committees, no break time until He creates light and figures out how to do it. If He says it, it is so. He splits the Red Sea, divide it. Because He said it, it is so. He's at the Sea of Galilee, and it's a storm, and He says two words, "Peace, stop it." I know that's three, but in the Aramaic, it was two words, "Peace, stop." And the seas obey, but people get to choose. Trust Him. Stop saying, I think I have assurance of eternal. Come on. If you believe in Him and trust Him, you know you have eternal life. Believe Him. Trust Him. He's the Lord of the universe who died with all our sins on His back. And on guidance, be careful. Be cautious of some of the things you read. One of the most popular Christian books right now, I say it with deep respect, or at least respect, is a woman who says that every word in it came to her from God. 16 million copies have been sold in the last couple years. It could be your favorite book. It's fine. She doesn't contradict God, but you'd have to say what she says makes those books equal with God's deliverance of the Bible. Be cautious, and we're going to spend tomorrow on that. When I was 19, one of the greatest gifts to me was I became an editor. I worked with Ken Anderson, a famous Christian writer in those days, and I became his proofreader at 19, and 3 months later he began making films, Ken Anderson films. So I got an editing job, and my secretary when I was 19 was a lady in 50s, very proper, very wonderful woman. But here's how she would do God's will. We used to argue about it in between manuscripts. Should I go shopping in Fort Wayne? The partner of a thief hates his own life. He hears the curse but discloses nothing. I'm going. I always told her she knew she was going shopping. That's the way she'd do God's will. Should we buy a new car? I'm going to show you how to do this in case you don't do it. Should we buy a new car? Then the gatekeepers called out, and it was told within the king's household. And the king rose in the night and said to his servants, "I will tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry." We probably shouldn't buy it because we're hungry. We don't have enough money. Oh, let's buy it anyway. That's how she figured God's will. Don't do that. We're going to spend tomorrow on guidance and trusting God's sovereign grace in our lives for guidance, but also how to make decisions. This will give away a little bit of what I'm going to say tomorrow, but I am going to talk about various beliefs that people have and practices and tell you to be careful. But Martin Luther, from the beginning of my Reformation, I have asked God to send me neither dreams nor visions nor angels, but to give me the right understanding of His Word, the Holy Scriptures. For as long as I have God's Word, I know that I am walking in His way and that I shall not fall into any error or delusion. Well, you know what he thinks. But there are many verses that talk about God's guiding our lives and shepherding us. And the big thing tonight And those three ways that he speaks, are you listening? Do you worship? Know the Bible and obey it and trust the Son. Let's pray. God, thank you for Jesus Christ, the most focal point of your revelation, a person, how to live. Help us believe in him, trust him. Thank you for your word. So clear in most places, and we ask for help to obey you as it is written. Thank you for your magnificent creation. How did you do it? The heavens declare your glory, so do our bodies, and we worship you together. We love you, right, everyone? Amen. And we need your help to obey you and love you. In Christ our Savior. Amen.